ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON, chapter 10, text 9. Machita madgata prana bodhayantah parasparam kathayantaschamang nityam Tushyanti cha ramanti cha Machita madgata prana Bodhayantah parasparam Katayantascha mang nityam Tushyanti cha ramanti cha The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport. Pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotee are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself, and in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection, which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of the living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahma Jyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Golok Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God, then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and His devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. This is the perfection of life, to be absorbed in thought of Krishna and with other devotees. Talk about Krishna, remember Krishna, worship Krishna. Everything Krishna, 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 Krishna. So these projects are actually meant for that. The ultimate aim of these projects is not even varnashram, not growing food. The ultimate aim is to remember Krishna. But the atmosphere is supposed to be set up in which devotees can live together and talk about Krishna and remember Krishna. Just like Krishna himself in Vrindavan. In the evening, after a long day out in the fields, Krishna comes back and Nanda Baba arranges every night there's some entertainment, not the TV. But there'll be some singers and dancers and reciters. Sometimes there'll be a drama about Lord Rama, sometimes about Vamana, sometimes about Nrisimha. So in this way, Krishna relishes seeing his own pastimes enacted for his pleasure, for the pleasure of everyone. But in Vrindavan, everyone is particularly concerned with Krishna's pleasure. It's a group activity. So in the same way, this culture is to be established. It's not just about farming, but a whole culture of Krishna consciousness. And farming is the background because sharira yatra pichate na prasiddheda karmanaha. Without doing some work, no one can live, Krishna says. So some work should be there. But the real goal of life is to think of Krishna, remember Krishna, discuss Krishna. If we don't do that, then there'll be some gossip. Paracharcha. This Chaitanya Bhagavat warns that paracharcha, discussing about others, that leads to a downfall. So we generally find that among village people, unless they have some higher topic, Krishna consciousness. Then they'll be discussing, oh, this, that, the village gossip of no particular import. And in the modern age, that's become expanded into national gossip or multinational gossip. So we see it's an important subject that when the president of America goes to another country with his wife, and the wife meets the president's wife of the other country, what were they both wearing? So the wife of the American president was wearing a long black gown with fur cuffs, and she had a big diamond ring. It all comes up in the newspaper, like it's something very important. There's a whole business, what the film stars, their latest love affair, and how they're criticizing each other. It's just the gossip propensity. Vacho vegam, the tendency to speak, that should be controlled. So discussing about others, paracharchake gati nahi, that's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, paraphrase that. The one who gossip, but to talk about others, paracharcha literally means to talk about others. It can also mean a high level of discussion, but that's not implied here. But talking about others is not necessarily bad. Just like, for instance, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that it's described that when a devotee would return to Puri, a devotee living in Puri would return to Puri from Vrindavan, then the devotees in Puri would ask about the Goswamis of Vrindavan. How are they living and what are they doing? Not from the motive of wanting to belittle, but from the motive of being inspired, because they know that the great devotees are engaged in great activities. When Srila Prabhupada was personally, directly present in our midst, there was not Paracharcha, Prabhupada Charcha, discussion of Srila Prabhupada. Living in London, as I was in my earliest days in this movement, many devotees would come from various parts of the world and stop in London for some time before going on to their next destination, especially between India and America. Devotees would often stop in London, spend a few days, and then go on. So these are the two places that Srila Prabhupada spent most time in. So we often got to meet devotees who had been with Srila Prabhupada. And of course, in those days, there was even telephone communication. We didn't do much international telephone communication. There was no internet. So we'd often go for days on end without getting news of what Srila Prabhupada had said or done recently. So then when someone had been recently with Srila Prabhupada, we'd ask, what's the news? What's Srila Prabhupada saying? Srila Prabhupada often said exciting and interesting things we'd never heard before. Now we've heard it all. It's all, a lot of it is recorded. But it was new and exciting, and even if it wasn't new and exciting, because it's about Srila Prabhupada, we're all very eager to hear. Now, here it's discussed that the pure devotees, they discuss about the qualities of Krishna. We can also discuss about the qualities of great devotees. And I just chose this verse because I'd like to discuss, and I'll open it up to all of you also, to discuss the qualities of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. These are the kind of things, if we're not frantically running around preaching here and there on the farm, slow life, different approach to Krishna consciousness in many ways to that which we take to be Krishna consciousness. We take it to be a very active, busy preaching movement, which it is, but it's also meant for very slow, peaceful cultivation of Krishna consciousness. That's what the farms are meant for, so it's a very, very different. So there's time to discuss and think about these things, and maybe those discussions could go on over several days. In this Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life, that's recorded there, how Ranganatha, who was raised in a traditional Sri Vaishnava background, Brahmin background, with the overlay of modern culture, he described that in the school that the kind of topics they'd give were making a comparison between Valmiki's depiction of a certain scene and that done by Kamba in the Tamil Ramayana. So these kind of topics. I didn't have that kind of thing in the school I went to. No such thing. So these topics can go on. You can go on discussing. So Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, the obvious immediate comparison, well, they're pure devotees. The Bhagavatam discusses Krishna and some pure devotees, a few among the Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda, among the unlimited numbers of Vaishnavas, a few are discussed in some detail. And many are mentioned who are not discussed in detail, just their names are mentioned or there's little said about them. But about Dhruva and Prahlad, they're both their character and their activities, which both are subsumed under the Sanskrit word charitra, character and activities. They are discussed in some length. In both of them have several chapters of the Bhagavatam describing their charitra. So they're both pure devotees. And other pure devotees who are discussed like this at some length, in the first nine cantos of Bhagavatam, we have Ambarish Maharaj, Satyavrata Muni, Vidur and Maitreya, and so on. The Pandavas. But the obvious particular shared characteristic of Dhruva and Prahlad is that they both started Krishna consciousness very young. They're boy saints. Which brings to us the point, or conveys to us the point, that even young children can be great devotees. Yeah. Oh, one young child woke up. So often devotees bring their babies to me and say, bless him that he'll be a great pure devotee. I tell them, I can't give a blessing, but you have to train them and set the example. You can't give them chocolates and TV and internet and expect them to be a great pure devotee. You have to say, you be a great pure devotee, and then there's more chance for your children. So it is possible. As Srila Prabhupada, the very first verse that he quotes in his Srimad Bhagavatam commentary, right there in the preface, is Kaumara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabham manusham janma tadapya dhruvam artadam, quoted by Prahlad Maharaj to his childhood friends, who said, what's all this Krishna consciousness? Come on, we're just kids. And Prahlad said that, well, Krishna consciousness is meant for kids too. In fact, children from the very beginning, they should cultivate Krishna consciousness, because human life is very rare and it's very valuable, and it passed away very quickly. And later on, in that section of which is recorded in Bhagavatam, Prahlad states how our life goes away in childhood, in playing, and then in Bhaktivinoda Thakur also recounted his life. Kaila Roshe Shaishove, and just playing, enjoying playing in his childhood, and then what is that? Vidya Roshe Jovane, and then as a youth in getting absorbed in study, and then working, getting a family, and in this way the life passes away, and then in old age then one becomes crippled, and then so much of the time is wasted in sleeping. In this way the life passes away. So Prahlad says start early. So they're both boy saints, they're both disciples of Narad Muni, they're both great pure devotees to whom the Lord appeared personally for their sake. Others also took advantage and saw them, the appearance of the Lord, but the Lord appeared personally for their sake. Some differences also. Dhruva started off with a material motive, whereas Prahlad, from the very beginning, was a great pure devotee, which he states to Narasimha, that you have sent me to this world to exhibit the characteristics of a pure devotee. Whereas Dhruva, he had very great material desires. But they both got the same result, ultimately. That even if one starts off with material desires, if one is properly guided and takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously, then he can become a pure devotee. Of course, the material desires can't remain, because pure devotee means, great pure devotee means he doesn't have any material desires. Prahlad, he is especially famous for tolerance, because he tolerated without any protest the atrocities of his father. Whereas Dhruva was so intolerant, he couldn't tolerate even his father. It was again his father who mistreated him, but not in a way. It was mental cruelty, but not trying to kill him exactly. In fact, his father became aggrieved when he heard that Dhruva had gone off to the forest, because he thought that Dhruva, he's likely to die in the forest with all the tigers and elephants and wild hogs and sharabhas, one kind of creature that's described in Shastra. We don't see nowadays, but they're very fearsome creatures. Rhinoceri, snakes, scorpions, all kinds of creatures. It's a very dangerous place. So Dhruva was very proud of it, due to identifying himself with the body, whereas Prahlad was completely self-realized from the beginning due to taking instruction in the womb. That intolerance is not at all a good quality. But if one is properly guided, that can be one can be purified of that also. They both also later became great kings when they became older. They both inherited the throne of their fathers. They both offered very meaningful prayers to the Supreme Lord. Prahlad was known as very peaceful by nature, although as the king of the universe he had to give some punishment either, but it seems that Dhruva by nature was very hot, very hot, both in his intolerance of the insults of his stepmother. I'm saying the father, but the stepmother gave the cruel words, but the fact that it was ratified by the father, that's what hurt Dhruva most. Later on also, Dhruva, he became so upset when some yakshas killed his brother, the very same brother who was being fondled on the lap of his father. But that same affection was denied to Dhruva. So when he was killed by a yaksha, then Dhruva became so upset that he wanted to annihilate the whole race of yakshas. Something else I was going to say, but I forgot to say. There may be so many points. One very important point is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he relished hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadha Pandit. And it's mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would again and again hear these two narrations, specifically mentioned these two narrations, those of Dhruva and Prahlad. He liked to hear about them again and again and again. How they both overcame difficult situations to be situated in the service of the Lord. Although in Prahlad's case, although he's in a difficult situation, he didn't even see it as a difficult situation due to self-realization. That naivod vijay paraduryatara vaitaranyasadvirya gayanam mahamrita magna chittam shocheta tovi mukacheta sa indriyata maya sukaya bharamudvahato vimurha. He said to Nrisimhadeva, that we're in this horrible and fearful condition of material existence, doesn't bother me at all, he said, because I'm always absorbed in the same here, madchitta madgata prana. I'm always absorbed in hearing about your tadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittam. My consciousness is always absorbed in exactly what this verse says, considering the glories of Krishna. But he feels difficulty in seeing others who are not interested in Krishna and who are trying to be happy in this material world, the illusory happiness, these grossly foolish people. So Dhruv Maharaj, he was like that actually. He was interested in Maya Sukh. But he became freed from that by the grace of Narada. Prahlad's also a disciple of Narada, so he imbibed that same mood of wanting to uplift foolish people. That mood is coming through right in our sampradaya up to the present day. Srila Prabhupada was fully imbued with this spirit of wanting to help others come to Krishna consciousness, and he inculcated that within his disciples, that we have to do something to help these poor, fallen souls. And there was some other point, but I forgot what I was going to say. But anyway, I thought, having said a few things about this, I'd turn it all over to you. How is Krishna inspiring you to think of any qualities similar or maybe different between Prahlad and Dhruva? The great quality is, of course, their Krishna consciousness, but that manifests in various ways also. Anyone like to say anything else about this?
Swami Kutat was from Dhamma Gachin, Kala Paragaswa, and he said, Parapyadi Vasyasi Ve Kama Naram.
Yeah. This Prahlad, from the beginning, he was, well, Dhruva was praying for, he wanted the fulfillment of material desire, but Prahlad, he was, when he was offered fulfillment of material desire by Nrsimha, he rejected and said, don't tempt me like that, I don't want these material desires. Swamin Kritat, well, that's, Dhruva came to that position. Ultimately, Swamin Kritatusmi Varangayache. After going through so much tapasya for the fulfillment of material desire, and when Narayan came, he said, "Well, I don't want it." Oh, that's the point I wanted to make. That Dhruva went through so much austerity, but Prahlad didn't go through any austerity, because from the very beginning he was Krishna conscious. So that verse is there from Narada, Pancharatra, that Antabahis Aradito, it begins with that. Aradito Yadiharish Tapasatata Kim, Naradito Yadiharish Tapasatata Kim, Antabahish Yadiharish, Antabahir Yadiharish Tapasatata Kim, Nantabahish. Yadi haris tapasata takim, that if one worships Hari, then what is the need of performing austerities? And if you don't worship Hari, what's the use of performing austerities? And if always you see inside and outside Hari, then what's the use of performing austerities? And if after performing all austerities you don't see inside and outside Hari, then what was the use of all your austerities? So Prahlad, he didn't undertake any austerities, but he actually was subjected to great difficulties by his father, but didn't move him at all. He wasn't in the slightest bit fazed by that. So Dhruva underwent great austerities, but at the end he realized it was all useless, because what the point that I performed the austerities for was to get some material boon, which in the end he thought that's useless. And Prahlad from the beginning understood. Yadi dasya se me kaman varangsha varadarshaba. What's the next line? Varangsha varadarshaba. Varadarshaba, not Varadarshaba, Varadarshaba. O best of the givers of boons, if you desire to give me some boon, then They make me. If you desire to give me a benediction, then make me free of material desires. So Dhruva came to that point also. We have to come to that point. They're both liberated because of their devotional service. Well, that's a general characteristic of devotional service. They both came from exalted lineage. Hiranyakashipu, he was after all son of Kashyapa. So they both had exalted lineage at the beginning of the universe, or the beginning of creation cycle. And how does that compare with Dhruva? It's supposed to be some comparison between Dhruva and Prahlad. Well, that's a great quality of Prahlad, which we can say that when Nrisimha appeared, then the boon which he took was that Hiranyakashipu should be delivered. Well, it's not particularly in comparison with Dhruva. It's a great quality of Prahlad.
And Prahlad Maharaj told that, "Oh Lord, I am not afraid of your face and teeth, other teeth. I am afraid of the two prayers.
Yeah, it's not really a comparison. There's no close point of similarity or dissimilarity. But anyway, it's nice to say that. Dhruva Maharaj, when he had the darshan of the Lord, what was that you said?
12 falls he has done.
Yeah.
By the Lord, he told Lord the devotee would get more pleasure.
Oh, the devotee takes more pleasure in hearing, remembering, chanting about Krishna.
And remembering lotus feet and hearing about him from the.
And hearing about him from the pure devotees, which is in line with this Machita Madgata Prana verse. And Prahlad, well, that simile, Madvirya, Tadvirya Gayana, Mahamrita Magna Chittam, that I take great pleasure in hearing about your nectarian qualities, Mahamrita.
Both has taken the spiritual master's words seriously.
That's a very good point. Both took their spiritual master's words very seriously. Yeah, very good point. Yeah. Okay, let's have hands up here.
In both cases, within Narad Muni had interpreted at an appropriate time to expertly guide them.
In both cases, Narad Muni entered at an appropriate time to expertly guide them. And he did guide them somewhat differently, didn't he? Yeah, now is the time. Yeah. He didn't come to Dhruva when Dhruva was in the womb.
Dhruva Maharaj, when Narad Muni told him, "I'll tell your father, Tanpa, you will allow you to sit in the." But he didn't accept that. He told that, "I am a Kshatriya. Please tell this all this to Brahmana. My heart is Kshatriya."
When he said that these austerities is too much for a little child. And then he said, "I'm." Dhruva rejected his original instructions. How does that compare with Prahlad?
Prahlad is not opposed.
He's not opposed. Yeah, he didn't oppose. No, Dhruva didn't accept. He gave both of them instructions in pure devotional service. Prahlad immediately accepted. Dhruva didn't. He said, "Well, you can go and tell someone else. I'm not ready for this." Let me indicate. Otherwise, putting up your hand and just talking doesn't make any difference to putting up the hand. All right.
When Hiranyakeshipu said, "Stop this Vishnu for chant the holy name of Vishnu," he said, "What is more tastier than holy name of Vishnu? Than Vishnu's name? What is more tastier than holy name in this world? On the three words. So I won't stop," he said. And
that's not in Bhagavatam, is that elsewhere? Sounds more like Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur. It may be elsewhere in some other shastra. Where is that stated?
Actually, I saw the movie.
You saw the movie. It may be in some shastra. It's not, but it may be in some shastra, but it's not in Bhagavatam. We're not familiar with this. That when he was told to stop, when Prahlad was told to stop chanting, he said, "There's nothing sweeter, and I won't stop chanting the name." But we don't have any Shastra Praman, we only have movie Praman, which is not reliable. Although, again, it may have been taken from some other Shastra. Not everything's recorded in Bhagavatam. Yeah.
And in other case, Dhruva Maharaj's case, when he sees the Lord, he don't want to ask what he has done. He won't ask for any material thing.
In Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah, they both came to the same position ultimately. Okay, what's your?
Prahlad Maharaj objected economic development.
Prahlad Maharaj was not interested in economic development. That he was sent to school to learn materialistic education, which is based on in economic development and enjoying this world. He rejected that from the outset. Well, that Dhruva's very motive to dominate this world and enjoy it was rejected by Prahlad. So that's a good comparison.
Prahlad's life is connected with the killing of some special
Prahlad is connected with the killing of some a great demon, and Dhruva isn't, although he himself killed a lot of yakshas later on. But yes, there's a difference in the Leela there. Yeah, please.
One difference is that Prahlad Maharaj was, since he listened to Lord Maharaj in the womb itself, he was able to glorify the Lord directly, immediately. Whereas in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, only after he was touched by the conch of the Lord, he was able to glorify.
Yeah, Prahlad, from the beginning of life, was able to glorify Vishnu. Nrisimha also put his hand on Prahlad's head. And then Dhruva was touched by the conch, and they both said that I'm not qualified to speak. But if you empower, then even someone who's not qualified can become qualified to glorify the Supreme Lord. Yeah, please. Well, Prahlad's teachings are the number of verses that he spoke that are recorded in Bhagavatam are certainly much more than those of Dhruva. Dhruva's only 12 verses, whereas we have long chapter. Well, apart from Prahlad's instructions to his schoolmates, we have Prahlad's instructions to Hiranyakashipu, and then we have a long chapter of long verses in his prayers to Nrisimhadeva, in which he explains the whole transcendental position of the Supreme Lord. So Prahlad's teachings, as we have received them in Bhagavatam, are more extensive than those of Dhruva. A lot of important philosophical background. We're talking about different people here. Yeah. How does that compare with Dhruva? Yeah.
In the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he was being taken to Vaikuntha. He was thinking of his mother, what happened to his mother, only his mother. Of course, he was shown that his mother also was following him. Whereas in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, he was asking Narasimha that, I do not want to come to Vaikuntha without all the people.
That's good, yeah. Dhruva, when he was being taken to Vaikuntha, wanted to bring his mother. And Prahlad, he wanted to bring everyone. Specifically, he asked for deliverance of Hiranyakashipu, but he said, Maya Sukhaya Bara Param Udvahato Vimura. And he was concerned with all the Vimuras, all the great idiots of this world, and delivering them. And he said that I do not wish to go back without all of these. Yeah, who's that at the back? I saw some. Yeah.
But there is a continuation of Narayan Shunya's post that when Prahlad Maharaj stated, I don't want to go back, if I come back with you, then who will take care of all other people? I want them also to take with me in Vaikuntha. And in case of Dhruva Maharaj, he got a different separate planet called Dhruva planet. Is that correct?
That's the difference in spirit. Dhruva went to the Vaikuntha planet within this material world. It's known as Dhruva Loka. Called? Naga Prishtam, the back of a snake. Pole star in English, yeah. Shvetadweep is another name for it, yeah. Shvetadweep is a term applied to many places. Yeah.
Dhruva Maharaj, in case Lord wanted to show that even though somebody is coming to be desired, even though Dhruva Maharaj doesn't want that, to show the world that whatever your this thing is, the desire, one should come to the most service of the Lord. So for that only he has given the Dhruva Loka, even though Dhruva Maharaj doesn't want
it. Well, how does that compare with Prahlad?
So Prahlad doesn't such desire.
Dhruva Maharaj had a desire that was fulfilled, even though later he didn't sustain that desire, whereas Prahlad, he didn't have any material desire. Still, he was given a great kingdom to rule over. Prahlad is described as Mahabhagavato Mahan, a great devotee among great devotees. Dhruva isn't described as that. He's a great devotee, no doubt. Dhruva is not a Mahajan. Well, he's not one of the 12 who's mentioned in Bhagavatam in that specific verse, that Prahlada Janako Bhishma. Prahlad is one of them who's mentioned. That doesn't mean he's not a Mahajan. There's 12 specific personalities who are listed as examples of Mahajans, but every Vaishnava is a great person. So to say that Dhruva is not a Mahajan is correct if we consider that there are 12 listed as examples of authoritative personalities. But every Vaishnava is a great personality, a Mahajan. Raghavendra Swami is said to be an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj.
In Karnal
district,
Karnal district, that Mantralayam. Yeah, so Prahlad, he's said to be an Prahlad Maharaj. Okay, all right. Anything else? Anything from the ladies' side? Any thoughts about Dhruva and Prahlad? No. Okay.
Maharaj, like when Prahlad Maharaj asked Lord Narasimha to reclaim all the fallen souls, so did Lord fulfill his desire?
Does the Lord fulfill the desire of a devotee who prays for all the fallen souls to be delivered? That was certainly the case with Vasudev Datta and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Vasudev Datta said that, I'll suffer all the sins of the living beings, let them all be liberated. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you don't have to suffer, just by your desire, Krishna will fulfill that desire.
But then why I'm here?
Why are you here? To deliver all the other, to deliver the others. Well, you didn't read the story well enough. That's also stated that the universe fills up again with you and others. Hare Krishna. One more question. Two more questions or comments. We're looking for comments here more than questions. Oh yeah, there's that, according to different authorities, some say Prahlad is Nitya Siddha, some say he's a combination of Kripa Siddha and Nitya Siddha. This is Nitya Siddha, yes, but he exhibits the characteristics of a Kripa Siddha also, Prahlad Maharaj. Ultimately, everyone is Nitya Siddha, but their distinction is made. Ultimately, every Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. But the distinction is made that anyone who comes in this world and is or appears to be materially conditioned gets delivered to the position of Nitya Siddha by the mercy of Guru and Krishna and devotees. Yeah. Narad himself, from a very early age, became
heard the voice of the Lord, he was not able to see me in this world.
Yeah.
So he was also child, and more than 6 months he could see why he
saw. Narad didn't see the Lord. In that birth. Well, he heard him, and why didn't he see him in that birth? Well, what the Lord told Narad in that birth was, by not seeing me, you'll become more eager to see me. So Krishna deals with different devotees in different ways. Yeah.
One more similarity between both Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. The Lord was pleased so much with both of them. In the case of Dhruva Maharaj, even though he did not want the material opulence, he was given them a material opulence.
The Lord was so pleased with both of them that even in the case of Prahlad, although he didn't want material opulence, and Dhruva also didn't want, but he gave it to them anyway. Nrsimha's anger subsided only when Prahlad came, not when the other demigods came. What was that comparison with the
Lord was pleased so much with both of them?
He was pleased with both of them. Yeah, but as Prahlad says, the giving material benedictions is not the sign of the Lord's mercy, actually. That's not the sign of his real mercy. So he may give that situation because someone desired it, and Srila Prabhupada mentions in one purport that we should be very careful in cultivating our desires. Otherwise, we may have to lament as Dhruva Maharaj did. He later on lamented that I had material desires. And now I have to have all this material enjoyment, which I don't want. So we have to be very careful about that. But he may give that opulence also, material opulence, to encourage people who approach him with material desires, and also because his devotees make a better job of managing the universe than non-devotees. At least they chant Hare Krishna. Who else? You had, who was going to say something?
Prabhupada, in the mind work, you say that Narada was in the mood of Shanta.
Srila Prabhupada said that Prahlad Maharaj is in the mood of Shantaras. How to understand it? What do you mean, how to understand it? A cow has four legs. How to understand it? What is there to understand? You have a certain characteristic and you describe it, then what is there to understand? What do you mean, how to understand it? How is it a comparison? I don't know. How is it a comparison? I don't know. The question has stumped me. Yeah. Gurukul students,
although they are aristocratic, they are sending the children, but they expect all the facilities and everything. They don't want them to undergo some hardships and all that. So how is it, Suchinam Shuntamve, how it applies in this case?
In which case?
This means aristocratic. Means if the parents are aristocratic, but they are not ready to...
I see. Well, we don't... Hiranyakashipu sent Prahlad for education, but we don't have any record that he sent him for performing austerities or any such thing. Well, within Vedic culture, children of higher class families are sent to Gurukul, yes. So? Yeah, they go to Gurukul, and in Gurukul they have to do some menial service and live austerely. So what's the question? Nowadays, where are the Suchi and... what we consider aristocratic nowadays is... It's outside of Vedic culture. Whether it's, does this situation apply for selecting Gurukul students, that they should be from a high-class family? No, that doesn't apply at all. It should be their inclination toward Krishna consciousness and their ability to be educated. So they have to... That such boys would mostly appear in high-class families doesn't mean that it's limited to children from high-class families. As in the case of this Javala, Satyakama, famous example from the Upanishads. Yeah.
Is there any
detail
how many times he heard this?
Is there any detail how many times? I think it was 2,643 and a half, maybe. No, there's no... How many times did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hear these narrations? It's said that he would... Many times. He liked to hear again and again and again. I heard from Dr. Shekhar Prabhu that he had... Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur himself had read Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavata 100 times, 108 times, something like that. I heard that. But The only record I know is from Chaitanya Bhagavat of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that again and again he would hear the narrations of Prahlad and Dhruva narrated by Gadadhar Pandit from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Narada was speaking to actually Prahlad Maharaj's mother and Chandrika Rajeshwar. And Prahlad Maharaj was hearing with him. And Dhruva Maharaj was testing Dhruva Maharaj whether he is very determined to see Vishnu.
Yeah, Narad dealt with Prahlad and Dhruva differently, according to their not even different levels of God realization. Dhruva wasn't even interested in God realization. He didn't have any specific interest in God realization. But it was thought by Narad that he could be awakened to that due to his family background. He had some good sanskars to be born in such a situation.
In both cases, they came through their mothers.
In both cases, they came through their mothers. Yeah, that's true. Although in the case of Kayadhu, she wasn't herself very Krishna conscious, from what we.